The views expressed on the following program are not necessarily the views of WIBA, its management, sponsors, or staff. In other words, the views expressed on the following program are those of the host. Broadcasting live from Planet Madison, where everything is beyond parody, this is Upfront with Vicki McKenna, the voice of reason in a city of chaos. To be a part of the program, call 321-1310 or toll free at 877-235-1310 or email Vicki at WIBA.com. Now here's your host, Vicki McKenna, on News Talk 1310 WIBA and WIBA.com.
And welcome back to the program, 321-1310 or toll free, 877-235-1310. We're asking for your tea party pictures. We've set up a special email address for those. And the reason is because you'll clog up my inbox and I won't be able to open or answer any mail if you do that, if you send them to me. So we've got Madison Tea Party at gmail.com. Madison Tea Party at gmail.com. And we've also got that linked up to my website. So if you don't have a pen, but you can remember our website, it's very simple, WIBA.com. And then go to my page and you can get there really quickly by typing in keyword in the keyword box, Vicki. And we've made it real simple. Please send us your taxpayer tea party pictures, audio, video, whatever it might be, and we'll get them all up in our gallery. Lots of pictures already posted up on Facebook, so if you're a Facebook member, go check out the pictures. Almost all of them have been somehow tagged to my page, so if they're not tagged to everybody's page, I don't quite know how it works, but you can go to my page and look at a bunch of those pictures already. But we will have a full gallery. We'll put your stuff up there as well. We'll give you complete credit. You know, make sure you send your name, and we'll make sure that this is that the people who are trying to make these silly statements like hundreds came, or about 100 like CNN reported in Madison when we had closer to 8,000. When you see these pictures, you'll see how preposterous those crowd estimates are. Somebody got really angry and called Channel 3 and yelled at them. They must not even have been there, because they said hundreds showed up. Yeah, you know, I mean, like, hundreds times 100. And from what my emailer said to me, Channel 3 was going to correct that. And we'll see. Don Severson from Active Citizens for Education showed up at the tea party. I saw you there.
Great.
So what'd you think?
That was pretty awesome.
Pretty awesome. You know, you and I have talked so many times on the air, and we try to get people pumped up. And, you know, sometimes it's really kind of disheartening that there seem to be people who are so dejected and don't think they can make a difference. Do you think that maybe, just maybe, you heard me say how many people from Madison and you heard that cheer, just maybe, you know, we'll get some more folks engaged now on issue-to-issue local issues? Because I tell you what, if they don't, then that tea party was for naught.
That's right. No, that was very encouraging that people were energized and were saying and talking, I want to get involved. I think I can do something.
Finally.
Yeah.
Finally,
yeah.
In Dane County.
Yeah.
Imagine. I know a lot of folks were kind of depressed about the county executive's race and forgot to remind themselves of what those races usually look like. Usually you get a 70-30 smackdown. And Nancy Mistel blew that one by 11 points. So obviously things are sticking. I remember you and I were talking about a school referenda package back in 05 that nobody thought could be beaten. And two or three of those went down. So I think it's time for people to kind of, you know, put their fiscal responsibility caps back on and re-motivate themselves, re-energize themselves, because the only way to lose the fight, for sure, is to stop fighting.
That's right. That's right. No, it was neat, because on a sunshiny day, we didn't have to look under rocks to find people.
No kidding.
They came.
And they came, and they kept coming, and there were more of them, and there were some that were stranded at Alliance Center, and they walked from Alliance Center to the Capitol. Good grief, that's a walk.
Isn't that amazing?
That's a walk. It was a beautiful day.
Yes.
But that was a walk. Unreal. So we're very heartened statewide, but I'm very heartened to see how many folks from Dane County turned out and how many specifically from Madison turned out. So I'm proud. I'm very, very proud of this. Well, we've got Don on to talk about an issue, and it's time to start talking about this issue again, and that is school spending. We seem to have, and they deserve the derision, we have a media that never wants to ask tough questions. We've got nobody, save maybe Tony Galley, who deserves a lot of credit sometimes for the great reports he does, and then some of the stringers for the Isthmus want to write the story or ask the questions that needs to be asked. So we've got this lovely sweetness and light story about how we're not going to have to, go for a referendum this spring from the school board, and it's all good. And we don't even want to ask questions. How come we're still at a point where we are at the razor's edge of funding our schools, and we still are? Why are we not going to the taxpayers for a referendum? TIF districts closed.
Well, true. And then we passed a big referendum last fall.
And that was a stopgap. Yep. But we are still on a path of fiscal insustainability. So programs and services assessment, I know that you've asked many times for this. What's the status on that?
They haven't done it.
Have they begun?
Barely.
Okay. Barely begun on assessing how well our programs and services work.
It's been encouraging in the strategic planning process. It's been encouraging in this strategic planning process, and I'm a member of that 60-person group. Very strong support for rigorous evaluation and assessment of program services and personnel.
How do you know how much to ask for? How do you know what really is the problem unless you assess on a year-to-year or at least a two-year basis how well we're doing in terms of what we're funding in the first place? And the thing that always jumps to my mind is our appalling results we get from our reading program, our intensive reading program. And the results are still as dismal as they ever were. We're still spending a huge amount of money. And last time I talked to Ray Allen, former school board member, watches this issue very closely like you do. He indicated it was somewhere around $8,000 extra per student we're spending for a program that has about a 50% failure rate.
That's correct.
Reading, and we're still doing
reading
it.
Reading recovery,
it's called. Right. So this is the kind of frustrations that I have. And I don't know if it's lack of imagination or lack of willpower or lack of personnel. It seems that Dan Nierad is being a lot more open as a superintendent, but yet we're still spinning our wheels in the same way, buying some time. But, you can only buy so much more time before the rubber's going to meet the road again.
Well, he's been out front with leading the charge to do this. The talk hasn't gone into the walk yet, although it's gotten some traction with the strategic planning committee. And what I think has to happen is that the Board of Education and the administration have got to be willing to make a commitment to do that.
You know what has to happen? Are those people who were down on the Capitol steps today need to make that phone call to the school board members and make the phone call to the superintendent's office and say it's about time. This has been 16 years. We've been begging for this for 16 years. It's about time. No more excuses. It's about time. It's not like this is, putting a man on the moon or getting the Apollo 13 astronauts back. It's simple.
It's not rocket science.
It's not rocket science, exactly. Here's another thing that I was a bit concerned about as well. Now, I want to say, I'm pleased that TIF district's closed and we're not going to have to battle a spring referendum. But we've got looming on the horizon of the state. We've got looming a repeal of the QEO and potentially the additional pressure, if in fact that happens and Jim Doyle wants it to happen, it's in his budget, of lifting of the revenue caps. Now, ladies and gentlemen, taxpayers of Madison Metropolitan School District, you're going to see an exploding tax bill if that happens. Local school boards are not weighing in. I don't know if they think they have to fear weighing in or somehow it's not their place to weigh in. But that, if there is any single thing that could hammer Madison taxpayers, that's it.
That's right. Well, it's interesting that the Madison School Board has taken a position opposing the elimination of the QEO. Well, that's easy because they don't have to deal with the money issue that way.
Right.
If the QEO was not there, then they'd have to do some work.
Here's the thing. We got to get serious here. I mean, I'm a property taxpayer now. I see the ugliness. I see it.
Good.
It's bad.
I know.
It's really bad. And You know, it's not about, it can't always be about taxpayers versus kids. That's got to stop. We've got to get to a point where we've got activated taxpayers, not rent seekers, but activated taxpayers, and not people who've been bamboozled into this idea that they can just skip happily along and not ever question what's going on. We've got to start getting serious about this. We are in a crummy economy that has now hit Madison, which was supposed to be recession-proof. Not anymore. We got a county executive that's inviting every troubled family she can think of into our community. Well, guess what those troubled families bring along with them?
That's right.
Troubled children.
High cost kids.
We are bringing in a population of high cost kids. Do we have somebody looking out into the distance beyond, hey, let's build even more buildings we don't need? Do we need to have folks who can sort of see beyond that, some of the basic day-to-day problems and recognize we've got problems on the horizon that are pretty terrifying, particularly the changing demographic. We need to start looking at that changing demographic. I mean, just look at English as a second language, which is very expensive. Mm-hmm. We have massively increased that cost. What are we going to do about that in the future?
That's right.
What's the answer?
Right. We need to be at the school board needs to be at the table with city planning and development.
Absolutely.
Before things happen and not find out what the heck are we going to do
the
now.
The city and the school board sitting down with the county, because ultimately, I mean, the biggest school district in this county is us. That's right. You know, we got the county board that's out there basically condemning Madison School District to financial problems because of the kind of population it wants to draw in. In the meantime, it's running out jobs. It's running off development. It's running off the kind of taxpayer that would keep being able to foot the bill. And if the Madison School Board thinks that some of the referendum battles it's had in the past were bad, just imagine when you've got even fewer people who are paying the freight.
That's right.
On an ever-increasing population of needy kids. We'll be right back and tell you how you can activate with Active Citizens for Education. Don Severson's been doing this, sometimes solo, a lot of times with great help for a long time. So we'll tell you how you can engage. We'll be right back. We need to talk about this changing demographics of the city of Madison and how it's going to impact the schools. Specifically, also how it's going to impact the taxpayers. Because what we've got is a condition where we have people in power who are interested in creating an ever-growing population of people who are in need of services. And as that happens, you create an ever-shrinking population of people who pay for those services. And Don's actually got some numbers when we come back after the break that are suggesting that trend has begun. So Don Severson in from Active Citizens for Education. ActiveCitizensForEducation.org. Is the website. We're gonna shorten that website someday, man. But this is the kind of thing you need to pay attention to. If you're at that tea party and you're from Madison, you need to pay attention to this stuff because it all matters. In the end, you're the ones that are going to be writing the check for this. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the program. Now, it all fits together, right, Don?
Yes.
Everything fits together.
But how do we get people to see the picture, though?
Right. You got to knit together the picture, you have to put the puzzle together for yourself. Don is from Active Citizens for Education, but it's not just about schools. It's not just about what the school board does. We have somehow allowed these sort of tribal politics in Madison, for lack of a better way to describe this, where school board plants its flag, city council plants its flag, county board plants its flag. And because the decisions right now, very specifically, two things are working on what's going to happen with the school board that planted its flag. County board is encouraging more needy people into the county. City of Madison is rewriting a zoning code to make sure those folks are living next door to you. and creating the need for additional transportation services, probably the call for a new school, all these kinds of things. So why isn't the city council inviting the school board to sit at the zoning hearings? And why isn't the county board inviting the school board to hit at the hearings where they're talking about creating policies that invite more needy people into the city of Madison? Because when the school board says we don't have enough money and they got to go back to the taxpayers for referendum dollars, you know, wouldn't it be nice if they could say, we fought, we were there, we were advocates, because it isn't as if somehow education is separate from the city or separate from the county policies.
Well, Dr. Neared, superintendent, and a couple, three of the board members get it. And they're now talking, and they've taken a step to get a representative of the school board on the planning commission.
Absolutely. Number one thing they need to be on is the planning commission of the city.
Yeah, we can't wait for the city or the county to ask the school board to do that. We've got to be there.
You know what? If they want to campaign, if they've got a campaign for this, we'll help them campaign for that because it's common sense.
That's right.
Because it makes sense. So, you know, just demand. The schools are... The city right now says, we can dump that off on the school board. And the school board members have to ask or demand the taxpayers or con the taxpayers out of more money. And the school board is just, probably would like to dump off MSCR, some of the MSCR stuff on the city tag. The city says, I don't know, then we're going to have to raise their taxes. If everybody were working together, we could maybe start getting to that programs and services assessment that you like to talk about a lot, Don.
Well, to use a phrase that was indicated by a former school board member here a couple, 3 weeks ago in a meeting that I was in, said that, you know, the school board has to quit raising its hand to say, we'll take care of that problem, we'll deal with that, but they don't, but they raise their hand to do it. But the city and the county are more than happy to do all these kinds of things that they think are so, you know, benevolent to
like
do.
For instance, the Fair Housing Ordinance in Dane County, which does not want landlords to screen based on criminal arrest or criminal conviction, whether you're here illegally or not illegally. I mean, basically trying to tie the hands of landlords. So we're making it very simple to come here and be problematic, but rent. Then you get the city of Madison working through the zoning code to make sure those problems are right next door to you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, those problems eventually, adult problems become children problems because adults, you know, have babies. We end up having at-risk kids that are disproportionately more costly in the Madison schools. It all works together. There was a story about a guy who came here and beat up a Madison bus driver on the south side. You remember this, Don?
Yes, I do.
And the story that was vastly underreported, was that guy was told by a housing agency in Chicago to come to Madison, and then was the housing agency in Chicago coordinated with Madison and sent the guy to the south side. So we are attracting folks. Our agencies are working together. We've got Milwaukee and Chicago and Beloit and Green Bay and Minneapolis saying, come to Madison, and we try to make it such a nice soft landing pad for folks. Well, all that benevolence does not translate into a benevolent community. It translates into more people leaving because they're frustrated with the crime problem. They're frustrated with the kinds of taxes that they're now having to pay because so many needy people come in need. And that means money. So they're leaving. In the meantime, we've got a growing population of high-cost residents that need taxpayer-funded services, a dwindling number of taxpayers to pay for those services because they're leaving Dane County. And you've actually got a number that's kind of disturbing from the schools that give us an idea this indeed is happening.
Well, this year they're projecting and planning in the budget for 675 students who have gone into open enrollment to transfer to school districts outside of Madison. And that's about 250 more than last year.
So we have an ever-increasing number of low-cost students transferring out of the Madison school district, which means what we are left with is high-cost students that also are high, in terms of hours, and then the necessity of attention, also disproportionately more costly.
And that also eliminates a lot of families who would be active in advocating for change.
Good point.
In our school district.
Yeah.
And they're gone.
It all connects.
That's right.
County policy, city zoning policy, all of this, the inclusionary zoning policy that that just finally sunsetted, it all intersects with what's going on in the Madison Metropolitan School District. And what happens when we've got so many at-risk kids? I mean, are they you know, leaving Madison, Don? Are they deciding to go on to greener pastures? I'm not thinking that there's much of a greener pasture.
No.
Yeah, and so we end up, so that ends up being a cost to us later on down the line, the number of social costs and dollar costs associated with those social costs. This is what happened in Milwaukee. Didn't used to be bad in Milwaukee. Used to be pretty good in Milwaukee.
Well, we don't want to recognize the slippery slope we're on. History hasn't taught us anything, at least taught people who are in a position to make a difference enough of a lesson to know that we're on the same slope that Milwaukee has been on, that Chicago has been on. Rockford has been on.
Which is probably, you know, not a bad comparison given size. And having lived there, I know that people fled that city. They fled the district. They fled the city itself. And they left Rockford with a serious problem. Here's another thing that we have issues with, Don, because diversification of tax base is very important. It makes it easier for people like you and me to live in Madison if we've got businesses that are also contributing to our tax base. When you've got a county that seems to want to drive out economic development, and you've got a city that doesn't seem interested at all in inviting people in to create jobs, and we are losing jobs in the private sector in Madison, that doesn't bode well.
No. Well, the financial base for the city, county, and school district has been for years based on increased property valuation, growth. And now all of a sudden, we don't have it. It's declining. So where is that growth going to come from? We aren't really doing anything to make a change in that whole process so that it's more welcoming for people to either expand their existing business or start a new business to increase the tax base and provide good paying jobs for people. It's dried up.
Means more out of our pockets.
That's right.
And now that I know exactly how much is coming out of my pocket, it's an insulting number, I'll tell you what. Especially knowing that we're not getting the job done on some of the most challenged kids in our schools. Again, they're not leaving for greener pastures. This is the green pasture. So if those kids are leaving our schools without the necessary skills they need to get a job and to be productive members of society, and they're nothing, they become nothing but the revolving door in the Dane County Jail and the Huber Center and the Juvenile Detention Center. And isn't it great that we're building these wonderful facilities for the criminal kids that we keep inviting into the city and inviting into the county? That's all well and good, but it's not like this problem just up and hops a bus and goes to another city. This is the green pasture here. I mean, it makes absolutely perfect sense for the school board to be involved in all of this. No more tribal politics.
That's right.
I think there are some people on the board who are getting it.
I do.
And I'm cautiously optimistic about the superintendent that he seems to get the joke on this. But, you know, the time for talking's over, the time for walking's now. 8,000 people showed up on the steps of the Capitol demanding that the time for talking's over, the time for walking's now. So let's get serious here, people, because we love the city of Madison. We want it. It's gorgeous here. You don't want to see it become pocketed with problems like you see in Milwaukee. You know, Milwaukee used to be a great looking city. And now there are whole big swaths of it you won't even drive into. You know, and so you go to the nice pockets. You know, good block, bad block. You know, good neighborhood, bad neighborhood. Oh, boy, we're 6 blocks down past Marquette. Eek! You don't want Madison to be like that. And that's we right. Already have those pockets that are cropping up. We'll be right back. We'll wrap this up with Don Severson. Oh, we're on the air. All right. So if you want to get involved in again, it is not just school board, it's not just city zoning, it's not just county board. All of this stuff works. For instance, if the city of Madison drives out business Don't you think that it would behoove the school board to be in there trying to fight for that business? Because someday, not only is the tax base diversified, but someday that business might create job availabilities for the kids coming out of the school. It all works, unless they abhor profit, Don. I don't know. Do they all think profit's a four-letter word?
I think so.
Oh, good grief. Well, you know, hopefully there's a couple of thinking people on the board who can recognize the value. You know, I don't buy that. I don't think everybody thinks profit. Look, you mentioned, I think they caught you talking about Ruth Robarts, former school board member. You know, Ruth and I would be at opposite ends of the political spectrum, but she got the joke when it came to accountability, and she got the joke when it came to wasting money and not doing assessment of programs and services and not engaging in these kinds of discussions. So,
but the other night, because the assistant superintendent for business had the data to show that it would be more fiscally responsible to hire a couple of electricians in-house rather than have contracted out for that, the board got it.
See? There's hope.
Yeah.
So if the board needs, you know, hey, I'll campaign for those guys on plan commission, have a representative of the Dane County Board. You know what? There are Dane County board members right now that would welcome that. And there are a couple of people in the Madison City Council who would welcome some school board representation, even at Urban Design. Yes. I mean, folks, you can't believe how the process is frustrating for business. So, well, it's a process. We bought ourselves some time, so let's hope that time is put to good use. I know you're going to, you know, be monitoring it and trying to make sure. ActiveCitizensForEducation.org.
Thank you.
Thank you, Don Severson.
You betcha.
And thank you for coming to the Tea Party today.
Oh, you're welcome.
We're going to come right back. Well, my computer just froze up, so I don't have today's poll question of the day. So it'll just give me an opportunity to say, if you've got Tea Party pictures, please send them to madisonteaparty@gmail.com. And if you're wondering, you think, gosh, she sounds really tired. No, it's my voice is failing. It's a miracle it lasted this long. I've got tons of energy. I mean, I'm going to stay up probably till midnight tonight, but it's just my voice is fading here. So, sorry. MadisonTeaParty@gmail.com. And then there's all kinds of great pictures already up on my Facebook page. And that's only because people linked up all their pictures to my Facebook page. So go there. And then we've also got a photo gallery. But we would love to have your submissions. If you've got audio or video, we want pictures of signs. I want pictures of people's signs. Those are the most clever signs I've seen ever. So please send your pictures, madisonteaparty@gmail.com. We'll link that up as well to my page, the email address to my page. Make it easy for you at WIBA.com. We're out of time. Don Severson, thank you. Really appreciate you taking time out of your day. Thank you to all the folks who came to the taxpayer rally, the Tea Party. That was fantastic. We'll talk to you tomorrow.